Well, hello, this is Jeff Gadiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today has been a mainstay on the rock and metal scene for well over 15 years now. You probably know him best as the founding member and former drummer of Five Finger Death Punch, but he's now assumed the persona of the Devil Daddy, and he's front and center in his cool new band, Psychosexual. That band released its debut LP, Torch the Faith, earlier this year, and just put out a surprise covers EP called Songs to Stalk You By. Please welcome Jeremy Spencer. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, but let's start with the genesis of Psychosexual. I mean, was this an idea you had while still in Five Finger, or did it kind of come up with the persona after you left?
No, I mean, I was, like, writing. I was always working on solo stuff, but it was poppier, kind of more like 80s new waves. And I actually released some records under the name Devil Daddy, and it's kind of more 80s influenced. But I wanted to do a darker, heavier kind of band thing, so that's when it became Psychosexual, but Devil Daddy is the singer of Psychosexual. So we do... We do heavier dark music, but the poppy solo stuff is a totally separate deal. But this new new band is darker, heavier, more aggressive, and it's kind of a hybrid of some bands I've been a fan growing up, liking, you know, Kiss, Ghost, Bowie, Type O Negative, and goth stuff, you know, all kind of mixed together.
And was it difficult to walk away from a band that you started and had a ton of success with to try something new like this?
No, not really, because I got to do that for such a long time, and it was really great. But, you know, I wanted to just try other things, and I needed to stop at that point. Like, I had a really bad back issue that needed to be addressed. And I wasn't drumming the way I like to drum, and it wasn't fun. So I needed to take a break, and I went and got, you know, surgery done properly. And it took a while to recover from that. That was a setback. That sucked, actually. But I'm healed now. Everything's great. And then it was like, I want to do a band, but I want to do this new style of band. You know, I don't want to just back to being the drummer in a band that I've done for years, which has been very good to me and a lot of fun, and I got to do a lot of great things, and I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I wanted to try something new, and it's stimulating. It's fun for me. It's exciting. And there are people that like theatrical bands and stuff that's, you know, lighthearted at times. Even though we have dark imagery, it's still kind of lighthearted and fun. It's just all about theater and having a good time and, you know, not taking it too serious. Although we work our asses off, we do take that serious, but you know what I'm saying? We're not trying to be like play super confusing odd time signature and be, you know, mathematical and technical and stuff. This is just, we write about dark themes and like to make it visually stimulating to look at and have fun, man. I think that's what it's all about. Like, it started for me with Kiss at a young age. They made an impression on me just like they did pretty much every other ever.
Well, you know, and the persona of Devil Daddy, you know, the mask and the outfit, I mean, is that pure showmanship, you know, to get the crowd going, or is part of it to kind of make it easier to come, you know, you spent your career behind the drum kit, but now you're out front and you're the visual part of the band. So does it make it a little easier when you're in a persona like that?
No. I mean, it wasn't weird. Even, you know, like the limited stuff we've done with streaming shows and things like that. It's, to me, performing is performing. It's just, I'm 10 feet closer to the audience than I was before, and now I have the mic and I can talk and sing and shit. But that doesn't freak me out. I like to have fun, and the visual aspect, I just wanted to make it cool to look at. And I've never seen a devil singer. I mean, that's, it's like everything's been done to death. So but I've never seen a devil as the front man. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that because I've never seen it.
Well, it's a debut record, Torch the Faith. Really cool. It came out this summer. And naturally, you couldn't tour behind it. You guys did some streaming stuff. But is that why you had an EP come out so soon, is because you can't hit the road and promote and tour and get the word out there?
Well, a lot of it is we've been working so much. Like, we're actually already almost done with record four. Like, we've been working on so it's like I don't want to sit on music, and that's not how it works today. The more content you put out, that's how you stay in people's faces. And everyone goes through stuff so fast, they went, what's next, you know. So to me, I'm like, we're not sitting on this, let's put it out. It's the perfect time. We won't even announce it. It's fun songs, it fits together all thematically, and let's put it out. And you know, and I plan on putting the second full-length album out as soon as possible as well. But obviously, it'll be after the first of the year. we'll roll with this for a little bit. We're really busy, man. And as soon as we can tour, then obviously we'll get out there and do that. And we'll have a lot of material to choose from, which is nice.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I think, you know, it's smart to take advantage of the downtime of the pandemic to get the music out there for a new band. This way, when you hit the road, you have a headlining set put together that people already know.
Yeah, because I remember even in Death Punch on our first album, we would play, we graduated to like headlining clubs on that record, but we only had one album, and we're like, shit, we don't even have enough.
What am I going to play?
We had to add a couple covers and things like that. And, so this, you know, learning from that experience, by the time we get to hit the road, I'll definitely have a couple full-length albums out plus this EP, so we'll be covered, you know, which is great.
And let's talk a bit about the EP, Songs to Stalk You By. It's a ton of fun to listen to, and you mentioned a little earlier kind of the conceptual aspect of it. It's a covers record, but it's a concept record because they are about all stalking songs.
Yeah.
How did you kind of come up with the idea and pick the songs?
Well, I picked a couple songs that I just liked, and it was just so happened that the theme of them were kind of about stalking. So I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to just do the rest of the cover EP with songs that are only about stalking? Because I've done whatever cover, but it's like, I've never seen or heard of a stalking cover album, so let's do that if it's perfectly with what we do. And we try to put our fun spin on it and make it different and still honor the traditional, obviously, but, you know, to try to make it sound exactly like the original, what's the point, you know? So we completely abandoned that, especially like a song like Every Breath You Take. We totally redid that and took that and made it like in a minor key, and it's totally different, you know? But it was just all in good fun and tongue-in-cheek, and I think it came out pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the beginning and the end, watching you, the Kiss cover, and Every Breath You Take are really the two that are most different from the original versions. But, you know, being a huge Queensryche and Bowie fan, you know, Gonna Get Close to You, Love You Till Tuesday really jumped out to me. They're just fun songs, and the way you guys do it, it really works.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, doing that Queensryche song, you know, also written by Lisa Del Bello, but and then Queensryche covered it. But that song's hard, man. I was like, it was kicking my ass, man. Finally, we got it recorded, and I think we hope to do it justice, and I think we got somewhat in the ballpark. It was definitely hard though, and the Bowie one was tough too. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the experience.
And, you know, of course, the really huge news with the EP is the appearance of your former bandmate, Jason Hook, on a couple songs. How did you and Jason kind of reconnect for this record?
Well, we're neighbors for starters, so we talk all pretty much every day, and we've been friends for 25 years. So I was like, dude, I'm covering Kiss. And I'm like, would you play a solo? He's like, of course. I mean, Kiss is his favorite. So it wasn't hard to persuade him to be a friend and play a cool solo on it. And he always liked that Queensryche song too. So I'm like, hey man, you're here, will you just do this too? So I got two for one that day, which is pretty nice.
And, you know, since that came out, Death Punch singer Ivan Moody, he had a lot to say about you guys collaborating. I mean, everything from, he sees it as a challenge, that he could take it as, you know, spit in the face. I mean, any thoughts on Ivan's reaction to you guys just playing together?
Well, I mean, I've known Ivan for years. I know how kind of his personality is and how he works. And I think he was misinterpreted this whole thing. Like, it's not Jason and I are doing a project together. It was never that. It was like, hey, Jason, would you throw a solo down on my band's EP? It was, and he was like, sure, of course. I mean, we're best friends in 25 years. So yeah. Ivan's reaction, I'm not surprised, but it is a little surprising because it's like, wow, you're surprised that I invited my friend of 25 years to play a solo on my band's EP. It had nothing to do against Death Punch or trying to challenge anyone. They weren't even on my mind, you know. I'm I'm trying to do what I'm doing and just enjoy myself and do my thing. So his reaction is a very Ivan reaction. That's all I'll say, you know. Best of luck to him.
And, you know, Jason was on this as a guest. Do you foresee you guys doing anything together in the future going forward, or just kind of this thing of, you know, kind of guesting on each other's records, or maybe eventually doing a project together?
Really don't know. I mean, I'm so focused on Psychosexual. That's really what I want to be doing. If he wants me to contribute some drums to something he's doing and I'm available, of course I'll do it. I mean, I love, you know, jamming with Jason and doing music. We've done it for years. And but as far as doing a project together, there are zero plans of that. And, you know, I'm not for sure what he's doing next. But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear it, whatever it is.
And we probably should have gotten into this a little earlier, but who else is in the band with you? What other members are playing with you in Psychosexual?
Well, we all have stage names, and that's what's hoping. You know, we have Crucifier on guitar. We have Astaroth on bass, and we have Volek on drums. These are local guys in Vegas. They're friends of mine. They're talented musicians. They're fun to be around. And, you know, we all kind of do the mask thing. So some people know who they are. Some people don't. It's really not that hard to find to look it up. But, you know, we'll keep changing things up so we don't look the same every time. And we're looking forward to just growing and doing more stuff and making it fun for people that understand what we're trying to do and get it and want to be along for the ride, you know?
Well, and I think especially now with the fact that there is no live music and just everything's up in the air, just something like that's kind of the shot in the arm that the rock scene needs, you know, just something new, something different, something fun, but yet still serious music.
And thank you. Yeah. And I agree. And the cool thing about this is that we're not making anything that sounds the same. Like the second record is totally different than the first. So if you liked or didn't like the first one, it's going to be different. It's I can tell you now it's way heavier, but there's also some poppier stuff on there too. But I think it's, we grew from the first one to the second one. That usually happens with bands. Like you're kind of figuring out who you are on your first one, and then you kind of grow into, oh, okay, it starts clicking in after that. So I think we're onto something cool. I can't wait to just keep cranking these things out, man. You can only do it so much because you want to give each of them proper attention. But people's attention spans are so short, you can usually move pretty fast. I remember in Death Punch, we'd release the album, and then, like, the next day, cool, when's the next one coming out? And we're like, dude, you make the album. Fuck, it's not easy.
And being such a visual band and the fact that you can't tour, you guys have done some live stream stuff from Vegas. Do you foresee any more of that coming up? You guys going to be doing any live streams or even, you know, one-off songs here or there?
Yeah, I think so. We will. We're still recording now, and we'll be doing that through the end of the year. But I think probably we'll do another streaming thing shortly after the first of the year. We haven't decided when or where exactly, but it'll be here from Vegas somewhere.
Well, we've been spending some time here with Jeremy Spencer and talking about his new band, Psychosexual. They have two records out. The debut, Torch the Faith, came out over the summer, and they just released an EP of covers called Songs to Stalk You By. And I got to say, I mean, it's just a fun band, but as you said earlier, it's serious rock and roll, but with just a good time to it. So, Jeremy, thank you for taking the time to do this. Best of luck with the band. Definitely a fan here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And keep in touch. Whenever you guys get the new stuff out, let me know. We'll get the word out there to everybody.
Absolutely. Will do. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, Jeremy. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah.